Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, an update of the Douglas Mackey case. We also talk about the Wisconsin Supreme Court seat with Scott Pressler and also Brett from Turning Point Action, tpaction.com. As always, you can email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by my friends Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage, 888-888-1172 or andrewandtodd.com. We've been following this story, and I think it's incredibly important. This is one of the most important legal cases happening in America surrounding freedom of speech, the overreach of the Biden regime, comedy, internet culture. It all is involved here. And joining us now is James Lawrence, who's an attorney for the Mackey Legal Defense Fund. You may or may not remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and now it's going to trial. It actually went through jury selection, now going to trial. Of the case of Douglas Mackey, where they're trying to put a young man in prison who made internet memes and jokes about the Hillary Clinton campaign in 2016, and they're trying to lock him up and throw the key away. James joins us now. James, welcome back to the program.
Charlie, thanks so much for having me again. Good to be with you.
So, James, give us the update. What is the status of the trial or the jury selection? Fill us in.
Yeah, so I believe we're in day three of jury selection in Mr. Mackey's case. But since we last talked, there are two developments that I would like to make your audience aware of in with respect to the case. The first involves the government's plan to introduce evidence from a confidential witness. And to just give your audience context around that request, the Sixth Amendment guarantees the rights of Americans to be able to confront their accusers in open
yes.
court. It's something that goes to the core of the Constitution. As a native of Raleigh, North Carolina, I can tell you this is something that Sir Walter Raleigh was complaining about from his prison cell in the Tower of London in the 1600s. I mean, this is how bedrock this is to our country. And in this particular case, the government plans to introduce testimony from a confidential witness whose name will be withheld from the public. And the court has not only granted the government's request to keep that person anonymous, but also to prevent Mr. Mackey's trial team from engaging in a fulsome cross-examination of the witness with respect to that individual's connections with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Through the briefing, Mr. Mackey's defense team has learned that the confidential witness has a relationship with the FBI and, in fact, has pled guilty to the very same offense that Mr. Mackey is accused of and is continuing to work with the government. But not only, Charlie, will Mr. Mackey's trial team not be able to confront that person in public open court, but they won't be able to fully cross-examine the witness with respect to that relationship. It's another troubling development. We've got the First Amendment, right, that's under attack. Arguably the 14th Amendment and the Fifth Amendment, because we've argued that the government's theory in this case didn't provide adequate notice to the accused that the conduct was criminal. Now we've added the triple play, which is the Sixth Amendment to the menu as well. It's troubling. It's troubling in many different ways.
From my basic legal understanding, this kind of witness protection, only is in like mob cases or cartel cases, right? I mean, this is an extraordinarily rare measure.
It is very rare. And as you've pointed out, it is typically used in the context of protecting witnesses who are testifying against MS-13 and organized crime.
Yeah, seriously.
And even in those cases, Charlie, it's read extraordinarily narrowly. But, and this is an important point for your audience to understand, the government was successful in persuading the court to keep this witness's identity hidden because of concerns about retaliation with respect to online harassment. We've heard about stochastic terrorism, haven't we? We've heard a lot about that with respect to the journalism that individuals like libs of TikTok do with respect to showing what's going on in these gender transition clinics. And here we see, with respect to a legal precedent, stochastic terrorism in some ways being weaponized against the constitutional rights of Americans. It's happening right here, right now in this country. It's very troubling. But if I could go to the second development or set of developments to get your audience up to speed on, Mr. Mackey's trial counsel submitted a letter to the court on, I believe it was a Tuesday night, with respect to some claims that Mr. Mackey's defense is making with respect to the Southern Poverty Law Center's contact with a defense witness.
This is a crazy wrinkle. Keep going. Yeah.
With a defense witness who the defense was going to proffer to testify regarding relevant issues in the trial, and the Southern Poverty Law Center allegedly reached out to this witness and inquired with respect to whether or not the witness's academic employer was aware of the fact that he would be testifying. This is an academic at the University of Alabama named George Hawley. And Professor Hawley, since, after receiving that message from the Southern Poverty Law Center, has withdrawn from being a defense witness. So we again have a very troubling thing happening with respect to one's ability to defend themselves in court and to be able to present their case, which again is fundamental bedrock constitutional issues at stake here with respect to Mr. Mackey not being
we basically have the SPLC going around interfering with witnesses. I mean, is that a bridge too far?
If the allegations in the letter that were filed on the 13th are true, it's certainly troubling. One could even go so far as to argue, I think, that under the government's theory of prosecution of Mr. Mackey in this case, under 18 U.S.C. 241, and remember, Charlie, this is important for your audience to remember as well, the theory is that the memes at issue and the alleged conspiracy to interfere with the right to vote, a constitutional right guaranteed to us, is enough under that statute for criminal liability. Well, guess what? The ability to put on your defense is also guaranteed by our Constitution and by longstanding American, Anglo-American legal principles. And one could reason that this outreach to this witness interfered with the defense's ability to put on its case.
This is so frustrating. You know, I followed the Michael Flynn trial. I followed Bannon. And what I have found is that in some of these venues, some of the technical stuff that would never fly in Missouri or in Indiana, it just kind of just gets glossed over, like Sixth Amendment violations, right? Is that you said Sixth Amendment right to confront your accuser, if I'm not mistaken, right?
And that's right.
Just basic jury selection protocols. I mean, we saw that with Flynn. We saw that with so many different of these other cases that are highly politicized from the Department of Justice, where they just kind of railroad basic constitutional measures and it becomes a show trial. I sure hope that doesn't happen here. I've got a powerful email here from somebody, a good listener from Chicago. Charlie, when I first heard about this case, I laughed it off because I thought it was ridiculous and I thought there was more to the story. I then decided to research it and I realized it's exactly as you've been reporting it. Douglas Mackey made a couple jokes about Hillary Clinton online and now he is facing prison time. It's an extraordinary thing. It really is the set of circumstances. I want to show these jokes here, okay? I want to show this one here. You just throw them up. We'll walk through it. Avoid the line. Vote from home, he said. Text Hillary to 59925. Next one, which is in Spanish as well. And so they're trying to charge him for laws that were on the books under the KKK, to prosecute the KKK for voter suppression and voter intimidation. The buried lead of this entire indictment is that the federal government thinks black people are really dumb. That is the buried lead here, is that somehow they're going to follow this. And I'm a little bit rusty on this particular point. And so I want to ask you this, James. James, has the government been able to prove a single person who did not vote because of these images?
No.
Okay, well, that's the whole ball game, right?
Well, their theory, Charlie, and this is, again, why this case is so important, is that the conspiracy and the alleged intent to interfere with the constitutional right to vote is enough under 18 U.S.C. 241 to put a young man in prison for up to 10 years.
This is unbelievable.
And if that theory is viable, then the Pandora's box that would open with respect to a host of other speech, your ability to comment on the issues of the day and to really use satire and criticism to hold the powers that be to account is in grave jeopardy.
Well, I mean, let me make a provocative and probably out a little bit, you know, distant analogy. I'm going to use a concrete one. George Carlin used to tell people not to vote. George Carlin used to say, hey, don't go vote. It's not worth it. The system's rigged. Is that voter suppression? That could be a little out. But
I suppose he would need to start a legal defense.
Yeah, he's not alive, but yeah.
Now, but he might need to start CarlinDefenseFund.com. We have MemeDefenseFund.com, and let me just
Please plug it. Please do. Yes.
MemeDefenseFund.com is where you can go and log on and support Mr. Mackey's defense in this case. But again, I mean, if this theory is allowed to prevail in this case, we're all going to have to open up our own defense.
Well, and I'll give you another example. So I was doing an event in Chicago. And a young man came up and he buttered me up. He knew what radio station I was on, but he was a troll. And he said, quote, Charlie, that's why when the midterm elections came, I told all my friends and family, there's only one way to stop the woke Democrat mafia. And that is to boycott these elections because they're never going to hear us if we don't really stop participating. It's a farce. It's a farce. Why should we participate? You said it yourself. Why should we participate? Now, I challenged him, said, no, but he's a troll. He was a left-wing activist telling people not to vote, telling people he was trying to suppress the vote. I mean, the government is setting a precedent here that this young man should serve a decade in jail.
And that's why we can't open this Pandora's box.
That's why
it's so important that Mr. Mackey prevails in this case and that the door is slammed shut to this kind of prosecution, because it will have a chilling effect on speech, and it's just not where we should be going as a country. So again, I'd ask your audience to go on to memedefensefund.com.
So just spell it, just because M-E-M-E, right?
M-E-M-E, defensefund.com. And I'd also like to encourage your audience at the same time. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And regardless of what the outcome is here in this case, ultimately we know who the author of history is, and whatever the designs of the powers that be are, it's in God's hands, ultimately, what happens in this case. And he will be glorified by the outcome of this, regardless of which way it goes.
Amen.
But our prayer is that Mr. Mackey would be acquitted.
We need the truth to prevail here. That this is so. People said, "Well, Charlie, who is they?" This is the Department of Justice trying to put a young man in jail because he posted some harmless internet jokes in the 2016 campaign. If that's not government overreach, and by the way, where's the ACLU? Nowhere to be found. Big free speech warriors. What a bunch of frauds. We're out of time. MemeDefenseFund.com. We have to have Mackey's back. This is one of the most important cases in America. We're going to stay on it. Look, are you concerned about the American K-12 education system? Are you worried about what your children and your grandchildren are learning or honestly not learning in school? If you answer yes, my friends at Hillsdale College have a free resource for you. Hillsdale College understands the importance of education to the future of our country. They're now offering 10 free print copies of their recent issue of Imprimis. It's titled Education as a Battleground, written by Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arnn. The special issue provides a factual account of the issues in the ongoing battle over education, explaining why parents and teachers, not unelected bureaucrats or activists, should guide what our children are learning. With Hillsdale College, you can make a difference in your community by distributing these copies of Imprimis at your church, local business, or even in your doctor's office. Do not miss this opportunity to arm yourself with the facts. Claim your 10 free copies of Education as a Battleground by visiting charlie4hillsdale.com. That's charlie4hillsdale.com. I love Hillsdale College. I'm an enthusiastic promoter of them. So check it out right now at charlie4hillsdale.com. Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets? I don't know how I feel about that. You know, when these legendary athletes leave the franchise where they built so much with them, it just doesn't feel right. It was like when Michael Jordan came out of retirement and he was with the Wizards. It just needs to be completely memory hold. It's like not real. It took me a while to get used to Brady with the Bucks. Brady did win a Super Bowl though, so he earned the kind of jersey switch. Or like Matthew Stafford with the Rams. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. I'm used to you seeing you in Detroit. Glad he won a Super Bowl though. He's a good man. But yeah, right here. Look, this is from the Pat McAfee Show. Aaron Rodgers says he intends to play for the Jets this season as the Packers work out a trade. Wow. I know you're going to email me, Charlie, the NFL is woke and terrible. Honestly, just, I love football, okay? You can fault me for that. Man, it's just not going to feel right. Not going to feel right if Aaron Rodgers playing for the Jets. Anyway, joining us now is Scott Pressler to actually connect the stories together. We're going to talk about Wisconsin. And I have a feeling that our Wisconsin viewers are going to want to hear more about Aaron Rodgers than about the Supreme Court seat, but they should honestly care about this more. Scott, welcome to the program. I think it's the most important election in 2023. Talk to us about the Wisconsin Supreme Court seat.
Thank you, Charlie. Well, I'm here in Wisconsin in Milwaukee, and what people need to understand is right now the Supreme Court is 4 Republicans to 3 Democrats. But one Republican is retiring, meaning that on April 4th, if we are not successful at electing Justice Daniel Kelly, the court will flip from conservative to liberal. And I want to remind our Wisconsin viewers that Governor Evers, a Democrat, tried to impose a stay-at-home order. And it was Justice Daniel Kelly that was the deciding vote that negated and nullified that stay-at-home order, providing for Wisconsin schools to open, businesses to open, churches to open. So everything is on the line with this election. If you believe in gun rights and hunting rights and school choice and voter ID and proof of residency, it all comes down to the all-important election on April 4th for Justice Daniel Kelly.
Yeah, and so talk about the amount of out-of-state money, the amount of influences that are coming into Wisconsin. Walk us through it.
Well, it's so funny, you know, I'm here in the state. Clearly, I'm not a Wisconsinite. I'm from Virginia, and the liberals are having a meltdown that I'm here in Wisconsin. Yet, the majority of Janet, the liberal opponent, her money is coming out of California. It's coming out of New York. And we have Wisconsinites who are getting postcards from people in Boston, Massachusetts. But that's okay, because Republicans, we are finally getting our act together I'm currently in Milwaukee. We're doing a postcard writing party of our own, and we're going to have people from across the United States calling, writing letters, and posting on social media on behalf of Justice Daniel Kelly.
Yeah, and I mean, this is going to impact voter data. This is going to just voter rolls, voter ID. It's going to be across the board. It's incredibly important. Where we have lawfare is the new norm, isn't it, Scott? So are you seeing a lot of energy on the ground? Are you seeing a lot of people start to wake up to this? Or is this still kind of a, you know, back burner election right now?
Well, when I first got here, because I arrived on March 5th, and I'm going to be here in Wisconsin until April 4th. I'm here for nearly a month in the state of Wisconsin. And as I'm door knocking, as I'm talking to voters, I'm still finding some people who aren't even aware there's a Supreme Court election on April 4th. So this is all education. But I really want to hone in on this point. I've traveled to over 30 states in the last couple of years. And the number one issue that I hear from people is they say, Scott, we must have election integrity. We must have voter ID laws. We must have safe and secure elections. This message is to all of you listening to the Charlie Kirk Show right now. If you care deeply about election integrity, as I do, you must, Wisconsin, get out and vote for Justice Daniel Kelly, because I promise you that on day one, if the liberals are successful and Janet wins her election, that on day one of her being sworn into office, a lefty not-for-profit group is going to sue. And they're going to cause litigation on the voter ID laws, and it will be 4-3 that they will negate voter ID, and we will have no election integrity going into 2024 in the presidential election.
I think you also have Brett, who does a great job for us at Turning Point Action with you. Do you have him right there as well? I'd love to.
You know, he's getting Daniel Kelly yard signs right now.
Oh, okay.
So I think traffic is catching him, but I will tell you.
All right.
Brett. He has been phenomenal. We were at Marquette University at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and he's doing a terrific job.
Yeah, what Turning Point Action is doing on the ground is so important, and it's grassroots all the time. Scott, more broadly and more generally, because a lot of our audience is not Wisconsin-based, I want you to reemphasize the need to become a precinct captain or precinct committeeman or committee woman. What is it? How do they get involved? Why is this important?
Well, it's critical. I know that many of you are maybe disillusioned with the party as a whole. And trust me, been there, done that. But I need you to get involved with your local Republican Party, because how are we ever going to change it? How are we ever going to be in positions of power if we don't join our Republican Party? And so I want you to go to your next meeting. Don't just sign up via email. Don't just call them. I want you to literally find out when your next Pinellas County GOP meeting is, go to it and let people know that you want to volunteer and find out if there is a vacancy for the precinct that you are living in. If there is a vacancy, I want you to sign up immediately to become a precinct chair for your local Republican Party. We have to make sure that we are getting into those positions of power, because as you saw, Charlie, and you and I are fighting hard on this, the RNC players are the ones that ultimately make decisions on behalf of the base. And while the base is asking for change, people at the top weren't necessarily listening to us. So you at home, become involved in your Republican Party so we can get into those positions of power and actually have a voice in the Republican Party.
Yeah, I mean, this is more important than ever before. And we see this disconnect that I think is really bad for the country, where Republican politicians don't listen to their voters. And one of the ways that we actually go about fixing it and finding a remedy is people getting involved and becoming precinct committeemen or precinct committeewoman. Do you believe that the grassroots in Wisconsin have been given enough resources from the Republican establishment for GOTV?
No, I don't. And that's why I'm here. Now, the Daniel Kelly campaign is providing postcards, is providing addresses, et cetera. But I'm here to announce for the first time that we're going to have an application that people from the comfort of their home can make phone calls. We're uploading the data today, and you're going to be able to go to your app store and download Early Vote Action, And I'm going to set you up to make phone calls from the comfort of your home. And actually, Brett just walked in. So Turning Point Action, we have Brett Gelizewski, if you want to say hello.
Brett, how you doing? Brett, tell us about what Turning Point Action is doing on the ground in Wisconsin. Give us the update.
We've really honed in on the grassroots aspect of this effort. Scott and I have been doing voter registration drives on some really key college campuses in this state. States that have a lot of Illinois students that go to them, like Marquette and UWM. Republican students that are wasting their votes down in Illinois, retooling that rhetoric, getting them to register to vote up here, help us win back our courts. We're holding a grassroots training with Scott on Saturday in Racine, which is a really key area of the state, kind of a swing area. And Scott and I have been all over the state. It's been a lot of fun. We're doing the hard work. And if we don't win back this seat on our court, the left's coming for everything we have. There's a lot at stake here. So we're happy to be in the fight.
What can we do, if anything, to get people to vote early? Are we entertaining that? The left is doing that big time. Talk about that.
Yeah, so at every single event that we've been doing, I've been promoting early voting. And I talk about Arizona. We know how hard TPUSA and Turning Point Action worked with Carrie Lake.
We did everything
and
we could. Yeah, at Turning Point Action.
Turning Point Action. The reason why, in part, we didn't win is because Republicans waited to vote on Election Day. Y'all, what happened on Election Day? 30% of machines went down because we told the Democrats where we were throwing the football. We told them we were waiting to vote on one day. Mm-hmm. And so I'm educating people on the importance of early in-person voting and absentee by mail voting here in Wisconsin. And everybody can go to myvote.wi.gov. Because early voting is starting on March 21st. We want to lock in those votes immediately so we can strike people off the list. So then we can focus on people that have yet to vote.
Yeah, it's incredibly important. So kind of closing argument here, guys. When is, you know, if people are in the Midwest, they should get involved. This is the most important race of 2023 happening in Wisconsin. Closing thoughts, 1 minute remaining.
Brett.
Well, like I alluded to earlier, if we do not win back this seat, the left is coming for everything we have in this state. They're coming for our Second Amendment rights. They're coming for our medical freedoms. They're coming for voter ID, our election integrity. They're coming for Act 10, which was a huge win for Republicans in collective bargaining back in 2010. It would completely reverse everything that Republican leadership has done to the state to make it great. So get your friends, get your neighbors, get your family, get everyone you know. Every Republican and their mother needs to come out and vote on Tuesday, April 4th for Judge Daniel Kelly.
Very good. And everybody get involved with Turning Point Action as well. TPAction.com. Frontlines. That's what we do at Turning Point. Other organizations sit around and do nothing and complain. We are in the trenches. God bless both of you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. This is Charlie Kirk. We are saving babies with preborn. What are you doing today? When you introduce a girl to her baby by providing an ultrasound, you are giving her the truth at the most important time in her life, and more than 85% of the time she will choose life. You're also giving her access to a 2-year mentorship program and a chance to receive free maternity clothes, baby clothes, diapers, parenting classes, but perhaps, and most importantly, someone to walk alongside her and be a friend during the most crucial time of her life. $140 gives 5 mothers a free ultrasound and saves babies. $280 can save 10 babies, and just $28 a month can save a baby a month for less than a dollar a day. And a $15,000 gift will provide an ultrasound machine that will save lives for years to come. Whether you want to save one baby or 5 or hundreds, that opportunity is just a phone call or click away. I'm a donor to Preborn, and you should be too. Call 833-850-2229 or go to preborn.org. That is preborn.org. So I want to play this piece of tape here from the left-wing troll that came to our event. He was good. He knew his radio call signs. AM 560, I listened to you. He's a liar. I did pretty well. I give myself a 7.5 out of 10 of how I handled it. I rejected it. I should have been more forceful. But I thought I was plenty forceful. I was very clear. He was well-trained. So here is a left. This is what the left is doing, by the way. Now you have all these left-wing YouTubers saying, oh yeah, Charlie Kirk trolled and all this. It's like, okay, yeah, whatever. But I hope you know that the left is now engaging in an intentional campaign of voter suppression to get you to stay at home. Play cut 60.
And I want to thank you for standing up for that. And that's why when the 2022 elections came around, I told all of my friends and family, I said, there's only one way to stop this woke Democrat mafia, and that is to boycott these elections, because they're never going to hear us if we don't really stop from participating in their lie.
It is not rational to stop engaging in the civic process that decides who is in charge. Going through a tradition of voting at least opens an opportunity, a chance, a micron, that you actually might still be able to have representative government. What you are doing, respectfully, is a guarantee that you'll never have a voice. It was a left-wing troll. They think they win when we stay at home. By the way, some breaking news here from Credit Suisse. Looks like we might have another bank meltdown. Credit Suisse is a global investment bank founded in Switzerland. I know very little about the integrity of Credit Suisse, but when Swiss banks are starting to collapse, things are probably pretty bad. So it's probably not good. I don't know if the bank is going to close, but according to Charlie Gasparino, who respectfully, I like Charlie, I've known him for years. He exaggerates a lot of things, but he says, breaking from a Credit Suisse employee, quote, panic, meltdowns, people crying. And so if Credit Suisse fails, that is not going to be good, you know? How many assets under management does Credit Suisse have? $1.5 trillion. How many assets under management does Silicon Valley Bank have? $300 billion. So by order of magnitude, it is a big, big difference. So we're going to keep an eye on this. And also, there was another bank that failed. What was the other one that failed? Signature Bank failed. There's another one that collapsed. The Dow is down 524 points. I think they're finally kind of internalizing that we might see one of the great challenges to the fractional banking reserve system. And in some ways, fractional banking is kind of just built on a not so subtle promise of the money's not there, but if you believe the money is there, the money is there. It's like that Seinfeld quote where it's George Costanza. I think we have it in the archives. It's one of my favorite, where George Costanza says, it's not a lie if you believe it. Now, that's overly simplistic, right? However, and I'm not even criticizing the fractional banking reserve system. I actually think it's brilliant in the sense that the entire modern economy has been built on this idea that you need money velocity and you need liquidity so you'd save money and invest money at the same time, because money just sitting dormant in a bank account is largely useful to nobody. So I'm not criticizing it. It's just the great fault line in the fractional banking reserve system is exactly what you're seeing now, is if people want their money back or they start transferring it out, then you could see a total great reset at that point. And so I'm not even criticizing. I actually think it's been a great thing. I mean, a lot of our wealth, our prosperity, and the kind of creation of the American middle class was made possible thanks to the fractional banking reserve system. This great fault line could lead to a great reset. I sure hope I'm wrong, but we have Silicon Valley Bank that collapses, Signature Bank that collapsed. There was one more that was in the news. I don't think it was very big. And now we have Credit Suisse. Credit Suisse is not exactly a mom and pop bank. And so this won't impact Americans as much. I'd be interested to know what percentage of the $1.5 trillion that Credit Suisse has actually is American depositors. I would imagine it's only a couple hundred billion at most. That would be my guess, but I could be wrong. But Credit Suisse here, breaking news. Credit Suisse stock plunge. What is their stock at right now? Yeah, their stock is down 20% today. Their stock has basically cratered in the last year. There must be other structural problems happening at Credit Suisse. This is just probably just adding insult to injury. There's no way this is just a bank run. There's something else happening here. Deutsche Bank has been going through similar stuff for years, scandals and all of that. But hey, at least BLM got their money. We broke the news yesterday thanks to the wonderful Claremont Institute. Did you know the Silicon Valley Bank gave over $73 million to BLM? $73 million. This explains fractional banking reserve system better than anything else. The wisdom of Costanza. Play cut 61.
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
The money is there if you believe it. Look, I'm not sure how this is going to end, but the fragility in the international finance sector is something. And to the credit of people like Peter Schiff and Ron Paul, they've been calling for this for quite some time. And Mr. Kiyosaki, who I was with at an Arizona State University event, and he was like, look, the entire banking system's about to fail. I'm like, all right, I've heard this before. Now, that's not been proven to be true yet. But if Credit Suisse folds and Deutsche Bank folds and you have Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, you're going to see some real questions happening here. And look, I mean, the sovereign debt crisis that we predicted for quite some time, for a decade ago, I think that's actually coming home. You cannot print wealth. You cannot print yourself into prosperity. Low interest rates made the ruling class very powerful and rich. Turns out there is a price to that. And the sugar high, the drunken spree of cheap money, we're about to experience a pretty nasty hangover thanks to our elites. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.